From historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, this is The Seminary Explores. Conversations about people, politics, theology, and life with your host, Dr. Kristen Johnston Largen.
My name is Kristen Largen, and I'm here with Angela Zimmern, a new member of our community. We're so delighted to have you with us, Angela.
Thank you.
Angela has been called as our Advancement and Communications Executive and also Visiting Professor of Preaching. You'll be teaching for us which is really great. But we have Angela with us today because we're really, Angela, because of where you came from.
Sure.
Serving in Israel-Palestine with the Division of Global Mission. And given what is going on there, I think we all are sort of shocked and appalled and also have a lot of contrary emotions, right? Sort of wondering how we're supposed to feel. And so I wonder if you could talk about your call, first of all, where you were, and then, what have you been thinking from your perspective there?
Sure. It's a tough time to be over there, and it's also a tough time to be back from there, thinking about all the people that are left behind. I was the pastor at the English-speaking congregation, the Lutheran Church of the Redeemer, in the Old City of Jerusalem. And also a part of my call was serving as assistant to Bishop Munib Younan. He's the bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Jordan and the Holy Land. He's also the president of the Lutheran World Federation.
Yeah,
so he's pretty busy these days and was out and about a lot, working very hard. It's a really difficult situation, and I've been in constant contact with the friends that I left behind, the Palestinian Christian community that we were in partnership with. As the Lutheran pastor of the English-speaking congregation, my office was right next door to Ibrahim Azar, we call him Barhum, who was the pastor of the Arabic-speaking Lutheran congregation.
Did you all share a building?
We did.
Okay.
We shared a building with a German Lutheran congregation, Arabic Lutheran, and or Arabic-speaking, and then the English-speaking as well. And so we got to be very close friends. In fact, we had known him before we moved to Jerusalem. We had known him for about 10 years. So got very, very close with Barhum and his family, and have been speaking with them over the internet, over online, almost every day about the conflict, about what's been going on and the escalating tensions in Gaza.
Yeah. So in terms of the people who were in your congregation, were they primarily expats?
Yes.
All right.
The vast majority of people, all except for one or two, were expats who were there serving with the United Nations, serving with the U.S. State Department, serving with various other organizations as volunteers or paid staff members. We did have a couple members of the congregation who were Native Palestinians married to folks from other countries, not necessarily English-speaking countries, but they decided to come to the English-speaking congregation because it was the mutual language that they spoke.
Oh, okay.
We had
our
longest-term members were a lovely, lovely couple. He was Palestinian, and she was Finnish. They've been married in there for over 30 years. They decided to come to the English congregation.
Okay.
But yes.
So, and then, are there... So when I think of Palestinians, are there permanent residents in Jerusalem?
Yes, there are permanent residents of Jerusalem. They have Jerusalem IDs.
Okay.
And they are Palestinian, and they do live in primarily East Jerusalem.
Okay.
West Jerusalem is the Israeli area. East Jerusalem is the Palestinian area. And they have the IDs that allow them to travel more freely between Jerusalem and the rest of the West Bank.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe, I always am sort of embarrassed to admit my ignorance. Just kind of, could you give a little sense of when you say the West Bank, when we're talking about Gaza, you're talking about East Jerusalem and West Jerusalem?
Sure. Well, it's kind of confusing because the West Bank is the West Bank of the Jordan River. And so it's actually the east. When you look at a map of Israel, Palestine, it's the eastern section, and it's called the West Bank. But that's because it's the West Bank of the Jordan River.
Sure,
it took me about a year to figure that out, and I kept saying, why are they calling this the West Bank?
But West Bank of the Jordan River.
Jordan River. And that is a Palestinian area. Now, there are many Jewish settlements within this Palestinian area. So you have the West Bank, that area, and then the other side of is the other side of the land mass, I guess is the best way to say it, is considered to be Israel. Although, of course, you know, just like with our states here, there's all sorts of curving boundaries and this, that, and the other thing. Part of the conflict, a big part of the issue, is that in this area that is supposedly Palestine or Palestinian, there are hundreds of thousands of Jewish settlers who have built homes there and are living there sort of in their own enclaves. And this is a difficult sort of situation. In fact, it brings to mind what we as Americans did settling in Native American land and just taking more and more of the land. And that's what's going on, is once you have the settlements there, they become sort of facts on the ground. And when you think of a settlement, when I hear the word settlement, I think of a little tent or something like that. These are massive, well-developed with skyscrapers and, you know, bricks and mortar. And so those places aren't going to be easily disassembled. So to say, well, the settlers just need to leave, that is not as possible as it might seem if they were actually tents.
Right, right. And, of course, there is a literal wall.
There is a literal wall, and it's much higher than what you would think of as a wall. It's 20 meters high,
yeah.
And the top of it is barbed wire. And the problem is not that the wall divides Israel from Palestine. That makes sense. If you think, well, we're going to protect ourselves, we're going to divide Israel from Palestine. The problem is the wall cuts through the middle of Palestinian territory. So it actually divides Palestinians from other Palestinians, and in many places, Palestinians from their land. So they can't walk to their farmland. They have to literally go miles and miles and miles through checkpoints to get around this wall to the land they own on the other side of the wall.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's the problem with the wall. It's not that there's a wall, necessarily, that indeed separated Israel from Palestine along legitimate borders. I think there would be a perfectly solid argument for it. But to separate Palestinians from Palestinians and in the middle of their own lands and olive groves and whatnot is really problematic.
Yeah. Well, talk about the people that you knew there.
Yes.
I mean, I think, again, the way the media portrays this is, you know, you have people just on the extremes and everyone is very polarized.
That's not the case at all. The vast majority of Israelis and Palestinians are very moderate. They're in the middle. They want good jobs, they want good schools, they want lives for their families, they want education and hope for their children. That's what they're looking for. They don't want to necessarily hurt anyone, neither side. When you look at Israel or Palestine, we hear from extremists on both sides. I have many Palestinian friends who just want peace and are more than willing to partner with Israelis to build that peace and a profitable, humane land where they can live.
Yeah, yeah. What's the role of the Lutheran Church in all of this? I mean, how does it... Bishop Munan and... What does he see as his role? What was the work that you were doing?
Of course, I would say that Bishop Unan is a prophetic voice speaking out for peace and justice with reconciliation. So he is very interested in building a relationship between Palestine and Israel, and between Palestinians, because if you can get the extremist elements to settle down, then that's one step in the right direction on both sides.
Yeah.
So our work was helping him as he crafted his message to spread to the area, but also to the world, to let people know that Palestine exists, Palestine wants peace, Palestine is willing to work with Israel, at least the Palestinian Christians are very interested in peace.
Yeah.
And in reaching out to their Palestinian Muslim brothers and sisters as well.
Yeah. What's the percentage of population of Christians, Palestinian
Less
Christians?
Less than 2%.
Okay.
Less than 2% are Palestinian Christians. So it's a very small group. But Bishop Unan does not like to refer to the Palestinian Christians as a minority. He says we don't have a minority mentality.
Oh,
we don't
okay.
feel persecuted,
yeah.
and We are a strong voice, even though we're a small number.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
Well, how are they viewed by the Palestinian Arabs, would you say?
I would say the Palestinian Christians are, in general, viewed as moderates, as... it's a very educated group of people, and because of their education and because they've done quite well for themselves, even under occupation, the population is diminishing because they can leave. They can afford to leave, and other countries want them.
Really?
They are valued. The Palestinian Christians are valued citizens. There are more. There's a large city in Palestine called Ramallah. It's basically the capital, for functioning capital there. And there are more Palestinians from Ramallah in Chile than in Ramallah.
Really?
Because they have left in such vast numbers. They've emigrated to Chile, Germany, the United States, Canada, and they're incredible citizens who contribute so much to the countries where they have emigrated.
Yeah,
and so it's really a loss to Palestine and Israel when the Christians leave.
Well, I was going to say, because of course then that means a diminishment of the moderate voice, too.
Exactly. Right? That's exactly what's happening.
Wow.
And they're getting stretched and squeezed, and it's a difficult place to be as both sides sort of want to claim them. Recently, there was in the Israeli parliament, there was a motion to say that Palestinian Christians were not Arabs.
Interesting.
They rejected, the Palestinian Christians rejected that outright. They were trying to separate that out and say, well, the Palestinian Muslims are Arabs and the Palestinian Christians are not really Arabs. They're kind of something different.
Yeah.
Sort of to get them on the Israeli side. And the Palestinian Christians were saying, no, we're Arabs. We're Christian, but we're definitely Arab.
Yeah. That's so interesting, just in terms of identity, right? And how a religion plays into that. I was just, as you know, I was just in Vienna at a conference, and I heard there were a couple presentations talking about the Buddhism in Sri Lanka, and there's some real conflict there. And one of the things that has happened recently is that there has been a move to sort of emphasize that, like, to be a good Buddhist in Sri Lanka means to be sort of anti-Muslim, right? Because there are these tensions there. And so, again, to kind of creep the religious identity into one's national and political identity, right? And we see that too, of course.
Absolutely.
That's really dangerous, I think.
Yes. Yes, and that's very much what's going on there. There's a lot of pressure for the Christians to distance themselves from their Arab brothers and sisters. And Bishop Yunnan actually went on to the Temple Mount, went up to the Dome of the Rock to talk with the Imam there. And it was a public, there were photographs taken to express that he, as a Christian, was in solidarity with the Imam as a Muslim. And the Mufti, who's the head of the area, the bishop said, "I'm in solidarity with the Grand Mufti. We are both Arabs. We are both Palestinian. There is no distinction between Christian and Muslim when it comes to seeking peace for Palestine."
Oh, interesting. Wow. You know, because that's, I hear that sometimes, you know, that people say this really isn't a religious conflict. This is a political conflict. And I understand what's meant by that, but I also think you can't really, I don't know, it feels to me like you can't really separate it out that easily.
It's very difficult to separate it out, especially in that particular place.
Yeah.
Because you have Palestinians who were in that land, and the land was given to the Jews as a homeland, and it's based on a biblical decree that this is the land of Israel, and the problem with that is that the biblical land of Israel has no concrete, I don't want to say connection, but no concrete definitive borders that would link it to the present-day state of Israel.
Yeah, right, I see what you're saying.
So the biblical land of Israel is one thing. The current political state of Israel is something totally different.
Right.
And Zionists, unfortunately, link and coerce the two into being one entity, which they are not.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, and I also have to feel like part of the backdrop to all of this, right, is the rise of anti-Semitism, particularly that we've seen in Europe,
absolutely,
right? And the waves of immigration,
emigration
back to Israel. And you know, I just wonder how that must also fuel the sense of fear and you know, rightly understood, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think one of the most difficult pieces for people to understand on both sides of the conflict is that these two peoples have both suffered intense persecution.
Yeah,
and right. The tendency is to compare the levels of persecution,
yeah,
and
right,
say,
sure,
well, there was the Holocaust, and this was unbelievable horror, and so they have a safe place to live. They need their own land. The Jews need Israel. This is very important. And to say, well, the Palestinians, sure, they've had land taken away. They're being persecuted. Gaza's being bombed. But it's not nearly as bad as what the Jews suffered,
right,
in the Holocaust. And I personally could not begin to make any sort of comparison or contrast one way or the other. Persecution is so painful, and what we need is a safe place for everyone to live.
Right, right.
Where the people of Israel don't have to fear anti-Semitism,
right,
and the people,
right,
of Palestine can also live in safety and peace. Israel,
yeah,
absolutely has a right to protect itself. That's a question that comes up often. People will say, well, doesn't Israel have a right to protect itself? Absolutely, but we have to make sure that the protection of Israel is not at the expense of Palestinian civilians,
sure,
who are doing absolutely no harm to Israel, nor would they wish to do so.
Sure. Are there any Christian, Muslim, Jewish groups that are working? That would be nice.
Yes. There is. There's a specific one. In fact, I'm on the board, the advisory board for it,
mm-hmm,
and that is the Interfaith Center for Sustainable Development in Jerusalem in the Holy Land. They're a subsidiary of Friends of the Earth Middle East.
Okay.
And this group works within the three communities, within Christian, Muslim, and Jewish communities, within Palestine, Israel, and Jordan,
which is
a phenomenal just achievement to,
yeah,
be able to bring,
right,
these three areas,
wow,
together. And what they're discovering is that issues of the environment, particularly with climate change,
mm-hmm,
are so important that other differences have to be put aside because survival is at stake. If there's no water,
right,
there's no water for anyone.
Right.
What's the point of having the land if there's no water?
Yeah.
And this is,
yeah,
something that both Palestinians and Israelis and Jordanians are facing and dealing with. And so this group can sort of push aside this. They look at their religious beliefs and they talk about them, but all three religions, all the Abrahamic faiths have a very deep dedication to stewardship of the environment.
Yeah.
And so they can come together under that umbrella and work in tandem, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous. I think, you know, that there, you know, as you well know, of course, I mean, there are many interfaith groups like that for people who are, they're tired of arguing about doctrine.
Exactly.
Right. To say, yes, we know we have some things in common. We know we have some deep disagreements, but really what we all know is we share this earth.
Right.
You know, and
yes,
you're right. I mean, I think the global environmental crisis is really bringing people together to say, yeah, we don't actually have to agree on everything, but we can still work together in this way, which provides some really great venues because, you know, again, as you know, once you actually get to know somebody, right, and see,
right,
them face to face, and then,
exactly,
right, I mean,
yes,
then it's not so easy to have a kind of a caricature of an enemy or an other,
right,
or something. And I like to think that those kind of grassroots movements then can have these broader effects beyond, right, and can resist some of the, like we were talking about earlier, the sense of, well, whose side, who's right,
exactly,
whose side am I supposed to be on? Well, it's, you know, it, that's actually not even a helpful way to sort of frame this whole thing.
Not at all. And the beautiful aspect of these environmental groups is that they can also draw in folks who are only nominally,
sure,
if at all, religious, people who identify as secular or cultural Jews or Muslims or Christians, but really have no definitive religious ties, but want to be involved in something to help the earth.
Right.
And that's something that can appeal to people even outside of the Holy Land when they start to talk about this group.
Yeah.
That you don't have to be religious at all to care about the fact that the Jordan River is running dry.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, that's a nice message of hope to end our conversation.
It is. Yeah, it's a great group.
Yeah, yes. It's a great talking with you, and we're so glad to have you part of our community and hope that we can sort of continue to
talk together
and that we can, learn from your experiences and help. Because, again, I think a lot of Christians and communities don't know how we're even supposed to respond.
Absolutely.
And how we're supposed to think. And some more information about what things are like on the ground there. It's really
helpful. Absolutely, absolutely. And I would say, as we move forward, continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, and for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yeah, amen. All righty. Thank you so much. Great talking with you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Seminary Explores from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. All opinions expressed on this program are those of the individual speakers and are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.